Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NYSO Open Teleconference for October. My name is Nettie Lagasse. I'm the Associate Executive Director here at NYSO, and I am very, very pleased to welcome for this October call colleagues Kimberly Steinle of Duke University Press and Athena Heppner of the University of Central Florida. Athena and Kim are the co-chairs of a relatively new NYSO work on content platform migrations, and that's going to be the topic of our call today. Athena and Kim, thank you for joining us. Happy to have you. So the call format is pretty easygoing, we hope. Thanks everybody for joining us. What we're going to be doing is just having a conversation with Athena and Kim to talk about the project and where we are and what's coming. And there will also be time for you to ask questions. So get your questions ready. You can jump in if you want to. If you aren't asking a question or you are just sitting and listening, that's great. Please mute your line if you can. That will help with background noise or the material for other people if you do have a noisy neighbor or a dog or what have you. And we're recording the call for people who can't be here today to listen to us, but there will be a period toward the end of the call where I will shut off the recording. So if for any reason you have a question or something that you don't want to be recorded, there will be time for that too. And then we'll also have time for general questions about NYSO, anything you'd like to know about NYSO in general. So that's pretty much the overview. I don't think I've missed anything, but if I have, I'm sure we'll find out. So thanks, Kim and Athena, again. Maybe each of you could introduce yourselves and say what you do at your institutions and maybe what got you interest or where this, why did you want to be co-chair of this content platform migrations work? So let's see. Athena, you start with A, so you can go first.
Okay, I'll jump right in then. I'm Athena Heppner at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, and my title is Discovery Services Librarian. Essentially, though, that means I'm doing a lot of electronic resources librarian work with a little bit more focus on the discovery and delivery of content. So as a librarian at a relatively large academic institution, we see a lot of content platform migrations every year, more and more all the time. And they can be as minor as something as a change from HTTP to HTTPS, which isn't really a migration, but it's a minor variation on the theme, all the way to we're moving our content wholesale from our own homegrown platform to like Adapon or Silverchair or something, or the reverse. So we see a lot of them because we have a lot of subscriptions and because the vendors are updating their platforms and trying to deliver better service for their customers, but also publishers want to get good service from their platform. So it changes a lot. And that is what struck me, caught my interest, is because we were trying to do this and some of them went relatively smoothly and some of them really had some things fall through the gap, both either from communication standpoint or from some functionality or content was actually not working after the migration. So that's where I'm coming into this. Kim, do you want to take it from there?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the Library Relations and Sales Manager for Duke University Press. And we did a migration, at the end of 2017, which seems so long ago, but yet it's still fresh on my mind. But that migration made me realize how much librarians are having to do, how much a publisher just for our size, a fairly small publisher, how many stakeholders across the whole ecosystem this kind of project touches. And it was our complete focus for a year plus. And to know that librarians are having to do so many of these, and we're just one, it just really got me interested in how we could come up with resources for other publishers to help them and to have better communication with libraries. There's just so many moving parts. I was really interested in this topic and having more discussion around it. And the good thing is, when we first put this idea out on the table, a lot of other people were interested as well. So there was no shortage of people interested, because like Athena said, I think everybody has been a part of a migration. Most everybody has, and most everybody has positives and negatives to say about the process.
So Nettie, what do we do next?
Maybe Nettie has, she's still there.
I was on mute. Oops, my mistake. So what I was saying was, it's great that everybody wants to share their good and bad experiences in a productive way to make the whole scenario better for people who are coming afterward. And I think that's one of the great positive outputs that you can do. So your working group has been working on this project for the last, it's been over a year, but that's sort of, you're still within our recommended time frame. And you've just finished your draft from your perspective and sent it to me, and we are tying up editing tasks at NYSO and preparing it for a period of public comment. So everybody who is on this call, you will soon enough see an announcement from NYSO that we are making the content platform migrations recommended practice available for public comment. And I'm sure that you will all have something to say about it, because as Athena and Kim said, it is a really hot topic and everybody has experiences and hopes for this. So we are looking forward to a really rollicking public comment period. I don't want to keep anything under wraps. It'll still be several weeks. There's editing tasks and sort of some back and forth and tidying up and nailing things down. So housekeeping, but you will soon see it coming. So we could talk about what's in the document and help people whet their appetite or, prepare for what they will see. Maybe we can talk about the different stakeholders in the process. So who are the stakeholders in the process, and what kinds of things did you discover about each other working on the group? Who wants to, we didn't assign questions, but I don't know if either of you wants to describe that.
Kim? I could give it a start. Yeah. So, what we realized, there are a lot of stakeholders, the main stakeholders being libraries, publishers, content platform vendors. Then there's all these other vendors that are also really important. And thinking about third-party authentication services, discovery services, usage statistic, reporting services, Crossref, so many. So what we did is we tried to keep the working group fairly small, so we couldn't have a representative from every single vendor. But what we tried to do is make sure that everybody was represented with, linking out, having separate side emails or conversations with people to make sure that their perspective was included. And then certainly we will be, when we send this out for public comment, making sure that those folks are looking at this and looking at their particular piece to make sure that we represented them accurately. But I think the last thing I'll say is the interesting thing for me, being on the publisher side, is we're very comfortable working with librarians, and we're very comfortable working with platform vendors. We've migrated a couple times before, but what I realized was missing is that librarians and content platform vendors don't talk to each other that much. And that seemed like a missing opportunity to me. So, Athena.
Yes, I'm not muted. Good. there are a lot of people that could be entities that could be considered stakeholders because they have to interact with the platform or the content in some ways, all the way down to the professor who's embedded a link into their course that could be considered a stakeholder of sorts. But obviously we needed to scope it to who to really develop recommendations for. And so we did think about the people who are providing abstracting indexing, the linking services and statistic services and so forth. But like Kim said, they weren't really part of who we were involving to put the recommended practice together. They are mentioned at some of the recommendations. We have a whole checklist of recommendations that mostly are aimed at the primary stakeholders, but they may touch on all sorts of other external entities that need to be communicated with and sometimes have to do some actions on their part to make things go smoothly. So that's really all I have to add for the stakeholders' comment.
So did you learn things about each other when you were, you know, through the conversations you were having on different elements or the shape of the document, and is it possible to characterize, you know, what kinds of perspectives and motivations were uncovered in a general way?
The whole platform and publisher side of it was relatively new for me. As a librarian, I focus on, can my users connect to this content? You know, how to link to it? Do I know how to get the usage? And that sort of stuff. So it was very interesting to hear all of the vendors, both publishers and platform vendors, talking about, well, we need to plan this carefully at this stage, and you know, we're doing this at that other, this other stage. And you can tell that, by the way, I'm really using very generalized language, that I didn't absorb it deeply, but it was very interesting to hear. And I noticed there are a few stages where the vendors were really turning to the librarians on the team to fill out the details for them on what we needed and why and when. So it was a very fun dialogue in that regard.
Great, great. I guess the next question is about when you started, you had to have a vision for what you wanted to come out with. And I think, you know, this document and your process was very interesting to me, because I think you all were very organized, or you had very clear notions of what you wanted to put forth. How did you translate your vision for the recommendations into working group actions? How did you create a process out of that? And can you describe how the working group progressed in its work a little bit to help people who weren't in the working group understand what you've been doing for the last year plus?
Yeah, so I'll start. The first thing that we really did is, you know, we were in a heavy information gathering phase. So we know that migrations have been happening. So we thought, well, let's gather information about those migrations. And so we went to different publisher sites to see if they had a site or materials or emails that they sent out about the migration. We also interviewed people. We talked with people. Tell us about your experience, and did some polling and things. Athena had done a kind of a straw poll of how many migrations have you gone through? I think it was in the past 2 or 3 years. And that was alarming and interesting. But I think at the very beginning, I guess I would say something that came really clear is the need for better communication and the idea of some kind of checklist of what are tasks that should be done. And I think that those two things kind of guided us. We knew that there needed to be recommendations in, you know, like a document format, but I think we really had this notion of providing people with some kind of checklist of, these are the things by stakeholder that we think you might want to do. And that's just not for if you're a particular stakeholder, you can learn from that. But you can also see what the other stakeholders' tasks are, which I think is really interesting as well.
Anything to add, Athena?
Yeah. Just thinking back on the process, one of our very early steps was to put together a work item, I believe it's called. And that's the document.
Work item proposal.
Yeah, where we described what we were talking about, what we thought the problem was, and also sort of what we wanted as a general outcome. And in that, I believe we did mention that we were hoping to produce a checklist and recommended practices and glossary. I think we even sort of had some ideas that we might develop some communication plans, drafts, and stuff like that. Some of those fell along the wayside as not really feasible to generalize in a way that would fit. But yeah, from the beginning, really the core idea was a workable checklist that people could take and say, okay, this section of this makes sense for me, and I can take this directly and quickly repurpose it to make sense in my context for my role. And I believe that we were able to accomplish that. Fingers crossed that other people agree.
We'll see about that. So that's moving on to the draft recommendation itself that we will be releasing in the near future. Can you describe the outline and how you might anticipate a reader would approach it if a reader is a librarian or a reader is a publisher? Can you describe it for people who haven't seen it yet?
Sure, I'll jump in first this time. Well, there is, of course, a table of contents, which is nice, and it describes, I'm going to actually look at it so that I'm not just trying to remember it. So the table of contents has things like, okay, here's the summary and introduction, and then it's broken down into sort of concept areas like the URLs and linking and how to deal with those, and how the content migration itself, what goes on in that stage, and what standards and processes you might think of. So each of these sections that we have in here describe in a more narrative way some concepts. And then at the end of each section, there's a link, a bullet to the list of some recommendations that are broken up by this main stakeholder who might be doing those things. And then in the appendices after this main document, we have the actual, it's going to be a different format in Excel for the checklist, and then some getting into the nitty-gritty of some things, like in appendices for describing relevant standards, other standards that you maybe would need to know about if you're in certain roles, or how to deal with CrossRef in more detail. So that's the overall structure. Do you want to,
Kim, anything else that she missed that you want to add? Or
I think just the fact that, you know, we've got the recommendations, like actionable things that are both in the checklist and then also within the document. And, you know, I mean, I think we want people to look at both, both the document and the checklist. But hopefully, if they're just looking at one of those things, they're still going to come away with something usable and actionable for them to do with their own migration.
Yep. So you've got for each of these sections, you've got recommendations for librarians, recommendations for publishers, recommendation for platform providers, with ahead of that, justifications for each of the recommendations. So you're not just saying do this, do that with no reason. There's information that helps people understand why some X or Y is needed for that.
And then I was going to mention that they're in the glossary section as well. So if you're just reading the checklist outside of the context of the narrative, there you might not have all the context you need. And there we may use terms that we mean in a specific way that will be covered in the glossary section and in the narrative section. So they're meant to work together.
So I think the checklist is pretty keen, and it will... Well, you know, as Athena and Kim mentioned, it's in Excel right now, or a Google Sheet, or So we're working on some way to make it a live document. That is, it's, you know, typically NISO documents are printed or recommended practices that we make available in PDF form. And as such, they're pretty static. I mean, you can print it out, but there's not a lot you can do to interact with it. But for the checklist, we do want to make it usable, interactive. That is, one person's checklist is not going to be the same as another person's checklist, to make it possible for someone to, you know, create an output for their own purposes, customize it. I don't know if there's anything you guys want to say about that. That was, you know, part of what you had in mind from the beginning, or what you learned from futzing around with the Excel or the listing of different things.
Sure.
Is it matches the recommended practice exactly, or?
I don't know if it matches exactly. I think we tried. Yeah. We tried, but I think something to point out about the checklist is it's not just sortable by stakeholder group, main stakeholder group, but it also breaks down the items into some timeline. I mean, we can't provide an exact timeline, but we can say things that need to happen pre-migration, immediately after migration, post-migration, you know, so that if somebody is looking at this, they can at least see sort of the stages that things need to happen, and then they can put their own timeline to it. But I think that the reason for that is there are some pretty significant things that need to happen early in the process. And if you miss those, it can be pretty problematic. So, you know, I think instead of putting an exact timeline, which obviously is too detailed for this group, is to just say, you know, you should be thinking about contacting link resolvers and discovery services 3 to 6 months before your migration. Or that's just one example, but to get people thinking. So as they come up with their own action item list, that hopefully our checklist will call to attention something that maybe they forgot.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing about the checklist and differences between it and the recommendations in the bulleted narrative form is that we found that there was redundancy, that the same sort of concept would happen during multiple phases or would be relevant to different concepts that in the migration. So in the narrative portion, it may be listed several times with slightly different phrasing and stuff. But we really tried to not have a checklist that was duplicating too much. So there's tabs for stakeholder and the primary stakeholder, and I forget exactly what we called it, but additional stakeholders who may be involved in any step. So we tried to make it so that the primary stakeholder at a particular phase would see that recommendation, and it wouldn't then be showing up for every other person or stakeholder that maybe needs to consider it in every different step. So it's a little streamlined and a little bit perhaps pared down in the checklist format.
Okay. But the idea is that someone can, you know, take it and reuse it in whatever project plan that they're creating themselves. It would be repurposed or information for them to input directly into their own planning
right.
process.
And an individual may want to duplicate steps at different places, like communicate. That's going to happen in every phase. So, you know, you might want to copy the particular thing as a reminder for yourself wherever you need to see it.
Or put a post-it note on your monitor, communicate. Great. Anything else you guys want to, so what are you hoping to learn from the public comments once we open it? What kinds of things would you be interested in seeing?
Oh, gosh. I guess what's missing, right? I mean, I think that there were so many sort of side avenues that we could go down. And we did, like Athena said before, we had to kind of watch out for scope creep. But it will be interesting if there is overwhelming feedback of, oh, you should have gone down this road for whatever, you know, mm-hmm. to see what people, you know, when they look at it, is it something that they think they could use? Is there, you know, what is glaringly missing from their own migration experiences? So my hope is that when people are looking at this, they're thinking about their own experience, and everybody has a story about their experience. You know, we had trouble with discovery and getting all that right. Other publishers maybe have other experiences. Librarians have other experiences. And so really what we want is for all of those things that have been critical and possibly missed in previous migrations to be incorporated into the document. So I think that's what I'm hoping, is to find out what other people think is possibly missing, because there was so much conversation that I won't be surprised if there's a couple things mm-hmm. that we really need to add.
Yep. I would agree to that. And I'm also curious whether it's understandable. If we put something in the checklist, it had to be pretty short by the nature of a checklist. Is it too short? Is it long enough? Do people know what we're talking about? So I'll be curious how readable and understandable all of it is.
Good. So thank you. Anyone who on the call has any questions for Athena or Kim about the project? Now is your opportunity. Please feel free. If there's things we've been missing from this discussion. No, maybe not. Anything else you want to say, Kim or Athena? I guess we also should thank all of the members of the working group. So it wasn't, you guys are talking about it, but it really wasn't just you. They had a full slate of experts and really committed people, coworkers, colleagues on the committee who were also putting in a lot of their volunteer time over the last year plus to contribute to this.
Yeah, there are people who are very passionate about this topic. And so, yeah, I feel lucky to have had all the help that we've had to work together on this. But I guess what I would just say to this group is please, if you even have, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to take a look when the document comes out for public comment, and just, we really, really do want your feedback. And you know, we'll take whatever time you can offer to this. I know everyone's time and attention is tight right now, but, you know, we really do want to hear from you because we want this to be something that gets used across the industry.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I'd like to think that we produced something that can be helpful and useful for people facing a migration. And if there's changes that would make it more so, we're eager to hear them.
Great. All right. So I'm going to stop the recording and see if anyone has questions that they don't want to be recorded. That's okay.